Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Breakfast with the Gators, part of the Stave & Gale Network and presented by our partner, Norris & Norris PA. Norris & Norris PA is out of Lake City, Florida, and they are a preeminent law firm serving North Florida since 1985. And you give God a call at 386-752-7240 if you need any assistance with business law matters, real estate wills, or trust and estate planning. Welcome, everybody. First live show. It's Selection Sunday. We've got a great finish at the Players' Championship. TBC Sawgrass going on at the same time, and the bracket reveal has started. How's everyone feeling?
Pretty good. We already got games popping up.
That was quick.
Yeah, it was quick.
I want to be the first to credit Devin for pointing out that we probably did not want to go into the tournament with heavy legs and that it might be okay to lose in the semifinals. We won't be heartbroken over that. So shout out Devin for nailing that take, and it's backed up.
Thank you for putting credit where it's due, Will. Yeah,
exactly. I was sent a tweet by one of my friends. Shout out Connor Holding. This is from Kyle Tucker, college basketball. Who knows if he knows anything? The good news for Florida, which would have run its win streak to 14 with an SEC title. No national champ since unbeaten Indiana in 1976 has entered the NCAA tournament with a streak longer than 13 games. Only four champs the last 50 years entered with double-digit win streaks. So Michigan must have seen that tweet too and decided that it was time to lose. But the Gators are down but not out.
Yeah, I think in the moment, Dev, we were watching that together yesterday on the grounds at Sawgrass, him, myself, and M. But in hindsight, after reading that stat, I think we all felt a little bit more easy about our tournament hopes.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those games. I think Vanderbilt played really, really well, and they couldn't miss a shot. Kind of jumped on us, and you know, one of those days. Rather it happen in Nashville than in Tampa or in Houston or in Indianapolis. So get it out of our system and flush it, and let's get moved on to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and fitting today, they really did not hit all those shots that they were hitting yesterday, so they used them all up for the Gators.
Yeah, we got a little bit of East region getting announced. Jackson, you want to read off some of the matchups?
Yeah, I'm trying to type and look at the screen at the same time. As you can see, we have an interactive bracket going on at the same time. I'm a little shocked. St. John's, a Big East regular season champs back-to-back years, Big East conference tournament champions for back-to-back years, as they rolled UConn last night, I think by 23, getting the 5 seed out of that East region. Ohio State and TCU, the 8-9. With Duke getting the number one overall seed, I saw a bracket report today that had Ohio State and TCU the 8-9 in our region.
Yeah,
did not want to play TCU again, so relieved to see that as UConn is the 2 seed in, I believe, the East region. Is that, yeah, the East region.
Yeah,
we're getting it. Houston. Like
Houston is going to be in our side of the bracket if we get that 1 seed.
Bring them,
even if we don't.
A lot of Florida representation in the East, too. You got South Florida and Louisville, the 6-11. You got UCLA and UCF, the 7-10 matchup.
UCLA over UConn in the round of 32. I heard it here first.
I like that as well. Who, they just upset Michigan State, correct, in the Big Ten tournament?
That's correct.
They also beat Illinois after trailing by, what was that, like 20-something points in that game? Few weeks back.
Mm-hmm. Interested to see. I know that Duke was has 2 guys that were out in the ACC tournament.
Yeah, they're supposed to get one of them back. But the other guy, Caleb Fisher, I think is his name.
Yeah, so he won't be back to the Final Four if they make it.
Yeah, they didn't put a timeline on it, but I think he had surgery on a broken, like a Jones fracture in his foot. Yeah. So, you know, I feel like that's a very optimistic timeline. To be back in, what would that be, 3 weeks?
That'd be a quick turnaround.
Cameron Young just won the Players, by the way.
Good for him. putted the ball well today.
I missed it. Fitzy didn't get up and down from just short of the green?
No, he didn't. He hit it to about 15 feet and barely missed the putt. And Cam Young tapped in for his par right after.
Good for him. His first real big-time win.
They got right into it this year. It's 6:05, and they've already got the whole East region announced.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could have swore they buffered for the first 5-10 minutes. That was like 30 seconds in, first matchup was out.
Hunter, I couldn't even see. I saw St. John's pop up so quickly, and I didn't even realize that they only got a 5 seed. That feels like an underseeded team.
Yeah, I am more and more thankful every day that Rick Pitino took that Boston Celtics job back in the 90s. Imagine if he stayed at Kentucky for like 25 years.
They would have shoot him off after not winning for a couple years, and he probably would have just gone to another school and won a championship. Like John Hunter, Calipari.
Do you have any other thoughts about the SEC tournament?
Yeah, Will with a good mention that just like the former Kentucky coach, wherever he goes, he wins. Hogs knocked off Vanderbilt today. Darius Acuff is ridiculous. I don't know if you guys watched the end of the first half or him in the second half. The guy is unbelievable.
That Brazil kid went in nuclear. That was crazy.
I saw a nice clip where Acuff was just not interested in playing defense, and so I think his game is going to translate really well to the NBA.
Yeah, future Atlanta Hawk.
But he's great, great offensively. I saw Rothstein tweet that he thought Acuff was the best freshman that Calipari's ever had. And I wouldn't put SGA in that conversation because he wasn't nearly as good at Kentucky as he is now. But I think John Wall and Derrick Rose are probably still better, right?
I don't know. From a standpoint of scoring,
Derrick Rose took him to the national championship game and probably should have single-handedly beat that Kansas team. But yeah, Acuff is really good.
I don't know how. I think they got him in a lot of the mock drafts, him like the 8-9 spot. I don't know how you don't take him behind Boozer at 1-2. The guy is just built for the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah, especially the modern NBA, just a shot getter, shot maker.
Jackson, will we have a break, commercial break on the reveal? You want to rip through the East again, just like rip through the matchups real quick? It first glance, got to look at it.
Can you see the interactive bracket fine on the screen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, East region, we got Duke, Siena, that 8-9 matchup in Ohio State, TCU, one that we thought might have been in our South region if we obtained that number one seed. St. John's, Northern Iowa, the 5-12, Kansas, and Cal Baptist. Cal Baptist, did you guys see how they won their tournament? Their conference?
Crazy.
Wild. Yeah. I think that would have forced it to go to overtime, not a win for Utah Valley is who they were playing. And that would have clinched their first ever NCAA tournament berth. And then you got Louisville, South Florida, that 6-11. And then Michigan State, North Dakota State, the 3-14. UCLA, UCF at 7-10. Again, two Florida schools representing that lower half of that East region with UConn and Furman rounding out, with UConn being that 2 seed. A lot of talk of where they would go if they would join us in the South. It's been flip-floppy a lot until we kind of obtained that 1 seed and through the predictions. Houston kind of took that 2 spot in our region, which they get home court advantage against us in the Elite Eight. So be it.
You're throwing out
San Antonio playing them the national championship game in their own state.
I may come to eat these words, but I don't think that the home court advantage, so to speak, really affects this team. I mean, they played so battle-tested. Arizona, de facto on the road. Duke on the road. Connecticut, de facto on the road. Went to Rupp and absolutely dominated Kentucky in their building on their Super Bowl. You know, and you can say that Vandy kind of had home court also being in Nashville, but Vandy doesn't have the fan influence that one of these real, you know, SEC powers has. And so I think that these guys are kind of road warriors. Todd's been great on the road, even going all the way back to his first year when we nearly beat that pretty good Auburn team, and Colin Castleton slipped. And so,
yeah,
I don't buy into like the, you know, Houston when it's going to be, you know, 60-40 split anyways.
We're getting the West region from CBS now. We start out with Arizona, the one seed, and fins up. LIU, the 16 in the West. We got the 8-9s, Villanova and Utah State. And then below that, we have the, was it 5-12? They're showing us High Point.
Wisconsin.
So, Wisconsin and High Point. I know that High Point has a kid that has shot like 50% from three and only attempted 4 2-pointers all season. So put a pin in 30 and 4 High Point. Then we have the 4-13 matchup is Arkansas. They get the 4 seed in the West region. Wow. Playing against, oh, they're in Portland too. Long trip for Arkansas. Playing against Hawaii. 24-8 Hawaii. So 4-13s Arkansas, Hawaii. They play against the winner of Wisconsin and High Point. In the 8-9, you have Villanova, Utah State, and LIU and Arizona as the 1-16. Bottom half of that region, we have BYU as the 6th seed, 23-11 this year. We get a little reaction from the BYU bench playing against the winner of Texas and NC State in the play-in game. That'll be a fun one. You get Will Wade against, I think, a pretty good Texas team. Obviously, they pushed us to the brink a little bit in Austin before we kind of stepped on the gas. So that's a fun matchup, a fun playing game.
Texas gets in despite dropping. They kind of stumbled into the tournament there at the end.
Yeah. Then you have the 3-seed Gonzaga Bulldogs, 30-3 this year, playing in Portland. Against 14-seed Kennesaw State, the Owls made the NCAA tournament, won the A-Sun Conference Championship.
Yep, that's correct. Nailed it.
Oh, yeah. Didn't have any notes in it either. And then Friday, you have 7-seed Miami. They will not be in Florida's region. 25-8 Miami playing against the 10-seed Missouri team. That's an interesting game.
That is.
That's in St. Louis. That's not a good not a good break for Miami getting Missouri in St. Louis.
I shot the former Gator Jay Lucas for getting that team rolling. That win in the neutral court looks
and
more.
And then on Friday, one more. We have the 2-seed's going to be Purdue in the West. Won the Big Ten championship about 30 minutes ago. 27-8 this year. They'll be in Missouri, in St. Louis, Missouri, too, playing against Queens. 21-13, the 15-seed. And a gym full of people out there. Good for them.
Purdue's dropping to the winner of Miami, Missouri.
I could see that.
Just call the 2-seed upsets.
You're 2-0 going so far in the 2-seed, bouncing in the round of 32.
Yep, sure am. We'll see if it stays that way when Sharpie hits the paper.
Well, I'll go ahead and say it. Arkansas is going to the Sweet 16 out of that top half and getting a showdown with Arizona.
13-4 can be like a popular upset pick when people fill out their brackets. I can't wait to see the stats. I bet 95% of people have Arkansas or Hawaii. That's not going to be one I think people mess with.
Darius Acuff is not losing to Hawaii.
Exactly. There are not going to be many people taking that 13.
I don't know. The Badgers, always get hot the first couple of rounds of March Madness, so I wouldn't be surprised to see them knock off the Hogs, Jackson's Hogs.
Notably. Shout out to everybody watching, by the way. I think we have about 170 live viewers. So if y'all leave us some comments, subscribe to the show, share the show, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, first time doing this. So appreciate everyone jumping in, especially a jam-packed day of sports.
We were talking about it earlier. I think it's the best sports weekend of the year.
It's up there. Something to watch. You talk often with the committee not paying as much attention on Saturday, Sunday games of conference championship weekend and not giving that as much weight. Notice Purdue being a 2 and Michigan State a 3. That's kind of a little telling. That's maybe a little bit more attention to the weekend than they have in the past. It was Purdue 3, Michigan State 2 was most of the projections coming into the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And while we have a little lull in the announcements, we're doing a Breakfast with the Gators March Madness bracket that we're going to share on Twitter and put into the bio of the YouTube video. So if you guys want to join, I don't know if we have a prize yet, but it'll be fun to get a little interaction with the fans and with the listeners.
Yeah, that's already been created. So once the bracket officially drops, we'll drop that link on Twitter, YouTube, and in the descriptions of Spotify, Apple, all the good stuff. So make sure you join, and we'll come up with some sort of prize. We have to.
Jackson, was that just the South that we did?
That was the West.
Okay.
Let me see. I got East and West.
Okay. So you're going to rename it.
I didn't know where this is already pre-programmed. So I had to go delete everything. As you can see, this is 2024 and I can't get rid of all that. So I'm going to just play it as I go. And I believe the South, if we're going to be the fourth one seed, we should be down here in Duke's region or Duke's side of the bracket, since the number one overall seed.
You guys think there's any reason to be nervous at all that Houston takes that fourth spot? Or are you feeling pretty confident?
I don't think it matters, honestly.
It doesn't. It seems like they may be weighing conference tournament results a little bit more this year. Like you said, the Michigan State Purdue 2 and 3 seed flipping. All the projections still had us as a one seed. And even if we're not, like Will said, the only difference is if we are wearing – blue jerseys in the Elite Eight or white jerseys in the Elite Eight.
I kind of hope that they take the conference tournaments into account a little more, because I think it's kind of ridiculous that they, you know, quote unquote, stop watching after the Friday games.
Yeah.
And as Seth Davis swears, they make contingency brackets, but it's kind of a straw man, because everybody's saying they're not paying attention to the results. And he says, well, no, they have contingency brackets based on the results, but they don't watch how the games have happened or anything like that. And so I hope that they take the conference tournament into account more, even if it means that, you know, the Gators might get dinged a little bit for not winning yesterday.
Agreed. Agreed. So far they have, I mean, Arkansas 4-2, they were projected as a 5 most of the week, and now they're a 4. I guess the counter to those three I named would be St. John's still at a 5.
I mean,
they would bump up to a 4, but.
And they manhandled
Yeah.
Connecticut. Like, that was the worst beatdown. That was worse than even ours.
Yep.
Interesting last couple games that St. John's and UConn played. UConn absolutely dominated them. And then St. John's returns the favor to him in the conference championship. Sweet little result for them.
Yeah.
All
right. Bear with me. I see some folks are commenting on YouTube, so I'm trying to get this to play at the same time. So bear with me as we have some commenters, specifically John from Tampa, letting a few things rip.
He asked for some quick takes on TPC. Nothing like golf talk during the Selection Sunday show.
I thought it was a wonderful weekend out there, and there was really nothing to complain about.
Nothing at all.
The weather was beautiful for the most part, except for 15 minutes on Thursday. The patrons were alert and involved
on their best behavior.
They were loud.
We're doing the Southwest.
Michigan here. They're your quick takes. There was no complaints. As for TPC, none out of any of the members of this crew.
Yep, just don't check Jackson's Twitter.
Nope.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hold that thought, Jackson. In the Midwest region, we have Michigan playing the winner of UMBC and Howard. They'll be playing in Buffalo, New York. It looks like Michigan is sitting in a Chili's for the –
not a bad place to be. Georgia.
And their matchup with the Georgia Bulldogs is an 8 seed, 22-10, heading up to Buffalo, New York as well, playing against St. Louis. St. Louis was another team that was projected to be in Florida's region as one of the 8-9 matchups.
Yeah.
Well, I think Georgia led the SEC in kill shots this year. I think they beat the Gators like 1 or 2. And St. Louis leads the country in kill shots. So I imagine Mike White will be down 20-0 again in another NCAA tournament back-to-back years.
The 5-12 matchup in the Midwest, you have Texas Tech 22-10 this year, obviously without JT Toppin. They're coming down to Tampa to play against the 12 seed Akron Zips. The Zips were 29-5 this year.
Do you think we'll see a depressed Oberg in attendance down in Tampa as he takes probably a few weeks off before Augusta?
He did not look very depressed in his post-game interview there, post-match interview.
Well, they are in Tampa next week for the Valspar, so he could make an appearance.
The Alabama Crimson Tide, the 4 seed in the Midwest region, also playing in Tampa, 23-9 this year. They're matched up with the 13 seed Hofstra.
Oh, that's going to be some electric offense.
That was in Tampa? Oh, let's go. Yeah. That's awesome.
We got some good stuff to watch.
Yeah, Bama fans will show up to Tampa. Texas Tech fans traveled well last year. That'll be a fun couple matchups.
All right, Paul, any comment on some hosts saying that Florida needed to lose before the big dance? Paul, if you tuned in when we got started.
It's already been addressed, Paul.
Already been addressed, but thank you for joining and commenting.
Okay, on Friday, we in the Midwest, the 6 seed, Tennessee, 22-11 this year, will play the winner of the play-in game between Miami of Ohio. They make it in 31-1 against SMU.
Wow, so Auburn likely left at the door, not getting in.
Wow.
No more out of the Midwest down in Tampa.
No, that we already got our pod from the 4-5 matchups for the Tampa games. And then on Friday out of in Philadelphia, you have the 3-seed Virginia Cavaliers, runner-ups in the ACC tournament, 29-5 this year, playing against the 14-seed Wright State, 23-11 on the season.
What's their mascot, Devin?
Good question, Will.
Let's see.
Looks like a dog.
I believe they're the Raiders.
Yeah.
If Google
that was my second guess.
Kentucky, 7 seed.
That's about right.
That's pretty good for a middling program like Kentucky.
I agree. Playing the 10 seed Santa Clara.
Oh, Santa Clara already got away with so many calls.
Are you going?
Do you think Mark Pope can be the next Kevin Ollie and take Kentucky to a 4 from the 7 seed spot?
So you got Iowa State. No. One more. Iowa State is the 2 seed playing against the 15 seed, Tennessee State.
Are you calling a 7-2 upset or 10-2 upset in this region as well?
I'm not. Kentucky won't make it past the first weekend.
Looks like that's going to leave Vanderbilt in our region.
Oh, that's right.
Thoughts? Give me your thoughts.
Better come to play.
Hard to love it right now.
Better to learn how to guard.
I think we do. It sounded like from Todd's post-game press conference that we kind of – we forced them to do exactly what we wanted them to do for the most part, and they just nailed every single shot, and that made us kind of change it. And then when we changed it, we had some miscommunication on defense, and obviously we didn't shoot the ball very well. So I personally think you flush it. You just saw Vanderbilt, you know, they came down to earth today and are obviously beatable. And they were kind of stumbling into the tournament before the SEC tournament. So I guess they closed out the season with a win over Tennessee, even though Tennessee didn't have their stud freshman, Amet. But I don't know. They don't scare me as much as they typically would if we had just gotten beat by any other team by 17. But I guess that's probably the testament to how Todd Golden is. Like, you know, we can't really – there's been, what, one other game the past 2 years where we've been really blown out like that.
So just looking ahead now for the South, Vandy is probably the 3 or the 4 in our region. I imagine that
they might be the 5.
Yeah, it might be 5. Nebraska, Illinois.
Yeah.
Clemson is probably the 8 or the 9 in our region.
Yeah, you're gonna have Houston 2, Illinois 3, right? Illinois hasn't been called.
Yep.
Nebraska, has Nebraska been called?
Nope. Not yet, no.
Nebraska 4, and then Vandy 5, UNC 6, maybe.
Yeah. Has Louisville been called?
Yeah, yeah. Louisville plays, I think they're in the South region with Duke.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in the 16th playing South Florida.
East region.
East region, sorry.
Yeah, so we'll probably get a Clemson and Iowa matchup in the 8-9.
What about has A&M been called?
Nope.
No.
Could be a 10.
On Bracket Matrix, they had him as a 10.
Yeah, so maybe Iowa 9, A&M 10 in our bracket.
Has VCU been called yet?
No.
Probably 12?
Probably 11.
11? Has Missouri been called? Oh, yeah, St. Louis. They got home game. Yeah.
VCU always just kind of scares me in March, but that's because of Shaka Smart going all the way back to the Final Four millenniums ago. Remember whenever we used to want Shaka Smart as the head coach of the Gators because he did that, and then he kind of flamed out at Texas, and then Marquette just had their worst year in forever?
I remember.
He did just
going back to the SEC tournament a little bit. One of the thoughts that I had, about the way that we played in those two games, and you know, it concerns me a little bit that we played in a hockey arena. In Nashville, and then now we're going to go to Tampa playing a hockey arena again. So hopefully between that and the Wilson balls that have been kind of controversial the last couple of seasons, those are a couple of things to keep in mind. I don't think, obviously the 16th seed is what it is, but I don't think that you're going to see a team as good as Vanderbilt or as talented as Kentucky in the 8-9 matchup, whoever it is, whether it's Iowa, Clemson, or you know any other surprise team. But it's something to keep an eye out for if the shooting issues kind of persist. It seemed like we kind of shook that bug for, you know, the last month of the season. And then you get to Nashville and all of a sudden, you know, a little bit different dimensions in the arena, a little different shooter's eye look. And the struggles kind of come back, that along with the different type of ball. So the ball they use in the NCAA tournament will be the same as what they used in Nashville for the SEC tournament. So one of those things that is a variable that you don't get during the regular season that once you get to the postseason, you kind of see pop up. But everybody's playing in the same arena. Everybody's playing with the same ball. So
I think as long as Pat Adams isn't calling our games, we should be just fine.
How ridiculous. We got Pat Adams and Doug Childs in the same crew yesterday.
Yeah. We were losing
that. We had no chance.
It defied physics. It would have been nice if two negatives canceled each other out there. But it just they compounded instead.
Yeah. We didn't lose that game because of officiating, but it is pretty incredible the statistics that were going around about our record and games not called by Pat Adams versus games called by Pat Adams.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. The South region coming up.
Yeah. Sorry if I'm ahead, but that is another one seed for your Florida Gators.
First time in history.
Todd Golden just did something Billy Donovan never did. Point Todd.
All right. The Gators will start in Tampa on Friday, 26-7 this season. They will play the 16 seed. Dun, dun, dun.
Come on.
Dev, you're sounding a lot like Greg Gumbel. Rest in peace.
Prairie View, A&M, and Lehigh, whoever wins the playing game between those two.
Lehigh. No CJ McCollum on Lehigh anymore.
So against the 8-seed Clemson Tigers, 24-10 this season. And they will be playing against Iowa. The Breakfast Boys, no ball.
Sometimes.
You heard it here first. Clemson and Iowa. And then the 5-seed Vanderbilt Commodores, 26-8 this year, will start in Oklahoma City. As you see, they're in the lobby of a hotel somewhere in Nashville, it looks like, playing against the 12-seed McNeese State, or McNeese now. They dropped the state, 28-5 this year.
They still got the guy at the speaker walking out of the – he didn't follow the way, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think he did follow Will Wade, and then he went back for their conference tournament.
Nebraska is the 4-seed.
26-6 this year, Nebraska. Potential Sweet 16 opponent if they can get through the 13th seed. Troy Trojans. John Sumrall's very own. Then we go down to the bottom of the South. You have 6-seed North Carolina, as reported first by Breakfast with the Gators. They're playing in Greenville, South Carolina against an 11-seed. CBS is icing us on the 11th seed. VCU.
VCU Rams.
Also as reported first by Breakfast with the Gators. So his 3-seed will be Illinois. That's is that correct. Right?
It's a tough three in my opinion.
That is. I think they still got the number one offense according to the KenPom.
Yeah, it's the best three in my opinion.
Florida beat in a secret scrimmage 86-76 before the season started. If that doesn't
that was a, no, we didn't have Boogie Flan, and they also didn't have one of their best players, I think.
They were 24-8 in the regular season. They'll be playing in Greenville, South Carolina against 14th seed Penn, who had one of the best games of conference tournament week earlier today.
Thriller.
Awesome.
Fred McCaffrey back in the tournament after getting fired by Iowa.
40 pieces for one of those guards that hit the game winner at the end.
TJ Powers.
And then the 7-seed St. Mary's Gales.
Yeah.
27-5 this year. Todd playing Gordon's, against 10-seed Texas A&M.
Former school.
Texas A&M getting to play in Oklahoma City.
Boy, wild that when we played them in what late January, 1st of February, there's about they were first in the SEC at like 8-0. We were 7-1. And it's been two different paths in the season.
And as expected, the 2-seed Houston Cougars will play against the 15-seed Idaho Vandals.
Look at the Vandals all excited to get their butts whooped. Those poor guys have no idea what they're about to go up against. Houston always beats that. They always win that 215, 116 game by like 40.
Yeah.
All right.
I think the contrast of styles between Texas A&M, that's probably what Seth Davis is talking about right now. 29 tempo for Texas A&M on KenPom and St. Mary's is 297. So the team that is allergic to going fast against the team that presses for 94 feet, because why waste a foot in the words of Bucky McMillan?
Yeah, I have a feeling that might not go well for St. Mary's.
Yeah. So how many SEC teams does that give us?
Three in our region.
Yeah.
Then you got Arkansas, then you got Texas, you got Kentucky,
Missouri.
You got Georgia, you got Missouri.
I think it's 10.
10? I wonder if that's the same or as many as the other leagues after all the talk about the SEC being down from what was historically the best conference of all time.
Took a step back to just being the best conference this season.
Look at that.
There you go. 10 bids, 9 bids for the Big Ten, 8 for the ACC, 8 for the Big 12, 3 out of the Big East, 3 out of the West Coast Conference, 2 in the A-10, and 2 in the MAC. MAC, a 2-bid league, just like we all expected.
2-bid.
Oh, Oklahoma, first 4 out.
The last team in was Miami of Ohio. That's crazy.
31-1 and sneaking in.
I would have rather San Diego State have been in than SMU, I think.
Those poor, long-suffering Indiana fans.
I think the most we got it right, honestly, the committee, as far as the last couple teams in, last couple teams out. I don't think, you know, there's like a major snub like in years past. I know the bubble's so weak, it's hard to get on the table and scream for any of the teams that are left out, but.
Yeah. I will also say that when we first had Neil Blackman from Florida Basketball Hour on, I think right as SEC play started, we were talking about the depth of the SEC, and we kind of pointed out that it was similar to how the Big Ten usually is, just a bunch of good teams with one elite team. And that's kind of how the Big Ten is. The Big Ten's more top heavy this year with Michigan, Purdue, Illinois, obviously getting a top three seed in our region. So, you know, they talk about the Breakfast Boys don't know anything. We know a little something.
That's right.
We do. And a question from P. Reed's wife in the comments. I guess she's got some time. I don't know where Liv is at this weekend. With Patrick Reed no longer involved, maybe they're back on our side of the globe. We've got a wall bracket, courtesy of M. Say hi.
Hi.
That will be finished using some tape, filling the bracket. Started it last year. Gators won it all, so we're going to try it again and see if the Gators can go back-to-back for the second time in program history. And only the second school ever to win their first four titles in two separate back-to-back occasions.
John. I know we said it earlier, but it can't be overstated. The first time in program history being one seeds in back-to-back years, it's a pretty incredible accomplishment here, you know, to coming off a national championship to go right back into the NCAA tournament as a one seed again, something that's never happened at Florida before. But hopefully we repeat history this month and come up with back-to-back titles for only the second time ever for two separate back-to-back national championships. I think UCLA is the only other program to ever win back-to-back more than once.
Well, the Hells won, I think, seven straight as well.
Well, I think they won four, had a year where they didn't win it, and then won like six in a row, something crazy.
Well, I mean, who's to say Todd Golden won't do the same thing? You know, you got to win two before you can win six or seven.
They're going to change the name of the Wooden Award to the Golden Award. And do we want to go region by region and just kind of give some initial picks? Not to hold our feet to the fire. We haven't been able to do our research. We're big on research on this program.
Research and we're big on material changes, which can happen at any moment.
Any moment.
Yeah.
So do we want to go through and – we can come up with a consensus game by game. I don't think that'll take too terribly long.
Yeah, let's just start in the East, go to the West, and then we'll finish with Florida in the South.
Leave Midwest alone for right now.
Yeah, we'll get them. We'll go around the horn and get the Midwest as well. All right, Duke, Siena, we'll pencil in Duke, and then that Ohio State TCU matchup. Ohio State's played well recently. TCU, I don't know a whole lot about outside of that beat us on Thanksgiving Day. One of the smallest teams in the country. Who do you guys see win that 8-9 matchup out of the gate?
Give me TCU, only because they beat us. Anybody capable of beating us, I respect.
Yeah. I think TCU is – they're like Vanderbilt light almost, where they just have a bunch of small guys that can hit shots. But Ohio State does have Gator brother Bruce Thornton, who's capable of lighting it up anytime. And so – you know, wouldn't shock me if you see a highlight from him coming down and he drains a three, you know, at the buzzer to win. It just seems he's kind of like one of those made for March guards.
Yeah, I like Ohio State, same reason as well. I think that is one where you're going to see a fun finish. I think those teams match up well. Should be a good game.
All right, moving down, 5-12. Any upsets here in Northern Iowa taking down Rick Pitino and St. John's?
I don't think so. I don't like that draw for Northern Iowa. If you know how we like to use KenPom and kind of scrub it so that you can use only the last month, they're playing like a top 70 team in Bart Torovic over the last month. And so going into their tournament, the Missouri Valley Conference, they were the seven seed, but they were playing better than any other team over the last month. And then they kind of rolled right through it and won the tournament. So kind of a tough draw for them to get probably an underseeded St. John's team coached by arguably the best coach maybe of all time, because otherwise they're kind of a Cinderella that's been so hot and under the radar recently that they might have been able to make a run.
Well, we do have one. We're going back to that 8-9 real quick. Paul in the chat believes a healthy Ohio State will beat TCU, so some comments flowing in. But, yeah, in the 5-12, I don't see Rick Pitino losing. I think – they lost in the Sweet 16 last year.
Yeah.
I can see them getting
Arkansas. Round of 32. They didn't make the second weekend.
You're right. I remember watching that game actually the day before we played UConn.
Yeah, that's Saturday night.
All right. Louisville, South Florida, intriguing matchup. We didn't get to see South Florida this year open up in 2024, 2025 against them. Who do you have winning that 6-11 matchup?
This can be one I need to do research on, as William Norris said. I don't know that I've watched. I haven't watched South Florida once this year and haven't watched much of Louisville. So I'm going to have to look into this one.
So South Florida's coach is Brian Hodgson, who was Nate Oates' top lieutenant at Alabama, did all the recruiting. Nate Oates has kind of fallen off just a little bit since he left. But he's a stud coach. He's in his first year at South Florida. And obviously they had the tough year with their coach passing away last year after he had taken Kennesaw State to the tournament. So he kind of walks into that situation, rebuilds the team, and gets them back into the tournament. So I think they're a pretty good squad. You know, if they beat Louisville, who Pat Kelsey, I don't believe, has ever won a tournament game, despite being, you know, he was in the 8-9 game last year with Louisville. And before that, he was with College of Charleston. And they didn't have enough gas to win either of those years. So wouldn't shock me to see USF pull off the upset there.
I'll
take Louisville, but I'm putting a pin. We skipped over Kansas and Cal Baptist. I just watching Kansas as much as I've watched them. I don't know what the first thing about Cal Baptist. I'm not going to pretend that I do. But Kansas is just one of those teams that you see the name and you're like, ah, they're not losing in the first round, even in a 4-13 matchup. That's one that I'm putting a pin in just because they just seem like a team that is just waiting to self-destruct at any moment. They don't trust their leadership. They don't trust Darren Peterson. I know that he's maybe the most talented player in the country. That's a game. That's a team that in a tournament situation, I could see a game being tight late, and instead of rising to the occasion, they fall. So that's one I'm putting a pin in just because of Kansas, not necessarily because I think Cal Baptist is something special.
Yeah, I'll look into more of that 13-4 matchup. I do like to pick at least one or two 13s upsetting the four. But going to the 6-11, Louisville's best player. I know he's been out here and there throughout the season. Don't know his health status. South Florida, one of the fastest teams in the country. I'll take the Bulls. Michigan State, North Dakota State. Any upsets here?
I don't think so. I think Michigan State got their wake-up call shake that they needed before the tournament, the Big Ten tournament against Purdue. I think they'll come out and they'll be ready to play.
Yeah. Against UCLA. They lost to UCLA. They got upset first.
Oh, what did I say? Purdue? Yeah.
Yeah. But your head was in the right spot.
Yeah.
7-10 UCLA, UCF. Two Florida teams get the upsets in round one.
I don't really know anything about UCF other than every single time you think, oh, maybe they'll spring a big upset against one of the top Big 12 teams, they just were getting blasted. Yeah. So give me UCLA with one of those coaches who just he always is making headlines for the wrong reason in January and February because he said something to a media member or to a player or something. But then when it comes time for March, it's the reason he has a job is because he's a really good coach. And, you know, would it shock you if Duke got upset and UCLA was in the Final Four? Probably not, because you'd be like, Mick Cronin is their coach.
Yeah, they've been hot ever since that blow up you're referencing, Will, with the – did you raise your voice at me? Interaction. But I already tipped my hand earlier. I'll be picking UCLA to win a couple games and upset UConn in the round of 32. So I certainly have them beating UCF here.
Yeah, I don't see Riley Kugel advancing through the first round. UCLA, been impressive. Every time I watch UCF, they're getting blown out or they're beating a top 10 team. So I don't know what to think of them, but the last few times I've seen them, I've not been impressed. And the 215 UConn Furman, UConn, moving on.
Yeah.
All right.
Danny Hurley's not losing to 15 seed.
Going to the West region in San Jose, Arizona, LIU. Just realized LIU even had a basketball team. I know the Gators played them in football to open up the season this past year in the Swamp. Didn't know they had a football team. But now they've got the fins up kind of going viral in the last few weeks. No upset here. Arizona rolls, and they'll play the winner of Villanova, Utah State. Any upsets in the 8-9 matchup?
I know that. Well, I guess it's not really a huge upset in an 8-9. Villanova's the bigger name program. Obviously, Utah State's had some success in the last few years. Been one of those hot picks for upsets over the years. I think Villanova, just because it's Villanova, but it's one of those you see them playing and they just look like the same team in a tournament situation.
I like everything you guys said.
Yeah, I'll coin flip. I usually 8-9 will just pull up KenPom and see which one's higher. Utah State in this case.
Super scientific.
Yeah.
Utah State is one of those teams, though, that's like the classic Mountain West outside of San Diego State, where you think, oh, like they seem like they have a really nice KenPom rating, and then they just all of a sudden all that those shooting metrics come down to earth, and they can't hit the broadside of a barn door in the round of 64.
We played them under Mike White 1 year, I think, and beat them pretty handedly.
No. We played them in Sunrise, and the game was like 55-51, and we lost.
Did we lose this to Utah State 1 year?
We played them in the tournament 1 year as well, I thought.
We beat Nevada in the tournament.
Nevada.
Twins.
Yeah.
And in that was the classic Mike White, one of the versions of the classic Mike White game, where we were up like 20 the entire game and then held on for like a 5-point victory.
All right, 5-12, Wisconsin, High Point. Wisconsin, the only team in the Big Ten outside of today. Big Ten, the regular season defeat, Michigan. They played them close in, I think, the semifinals or the quarters of the Big Ten tournament this past week. 5-12 against High Point. This might be one of those 12-5 upsets where I take High Point.
I like what I've seen about this High Point team, which is just the one kid whose name I don't remember that doesn't shoot two-pointers that – shot like 50% from three this year.
High Point has a pretty good offense for mid-major standards, top 70 in KenPom, and Michigan or Wisconsin struggles to defend. So, you know, it could be one of those where if you let a team like that hang around and there's less than 8 minutes left, all of a sudden you start thinking, oh my goodness, I'm about to get upset and get a little nervous. And, you know, the Cinderella grabs the bull by the horns and wins.
I like Wisconsin here, but their two best players are junior and senior, Blackwell and Boyd. So I feel comfortable in a matchup like this. They'll be ready to roll.
All right, Arkansas, the SEC tournament champions, finished third in the SEC regular season, based off of the 13th seeded Hawaii. Any upsets, or Darius Acuff is single handedly not going to lose this game?
Like we said earlier, Darius Acuff is not losing to Hawaii in the first round of the NCAA tournament. I got the Hogs.
I got the Hogs going to at least a Sweet 16.
I don't know about that. Just because we know how John Calipari likes to roll in the NCAA tournament most years. I guess he went to a Sweet 16 last year.
Should have gotten to the Elite Eight. Should have played us in the Elite Eight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should have worked better. The Hogs have been playing really well as a team outside of their trip to Gainesville, where they were absolutely decimated by more than 30 points. So, you know, I don't know if you could say they're underseeded because four seems pretty fair for them. But I do think that, you know, they might be the second best team in their bracket behind Arizona.
And then I didn't get in the 11 seed play-in game. Is this the Texas NC State?
Yep.
That takes the winner of BYU.
Yep, that's right.
I'm going to take Texas to beat NC State and have a Texas-BYU showdown.
I think I'd take either one of them to beat BYU.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a popular, you know, play-in game. Usually wins one game in the round of 64. I think this will be a popular pick just with BYU fighting injuries. Obviously, they have potential number one pick, but I kind of like that too.
Well, I don't know. I think I like BYU over both of those teams. I can't trust those teams. Texas seemed like they were playing their best ball right before we went in there and beat them. Also, another we were talking earlier about potential having, you know, kind of a home or a away game atmosphere against Houston. That's another one where we went into a hostile environment and just stole their lunch money. But DeBonta seems to be kind of taken over. They've kind of moved on from Richie Saunders tearing his ACL. And they played pretty well in the Big 12 tournament until Houston just is too deep for them. But Houston's too deep for a lot of teams, just not the Florida Gators. So I like BYU.
What a great head coaching matchup we got in that playing game as well. Sean Miller versus Will Wade. Two scumbags going at it. And I'll take
how I like my college basketball.
Exactly. I'll take Sean Miller getting to the round of 32. Gonzaga, Kennesaw State, the 3-14 matchup. Any surprises here?
I don't think so. The Zags are kind of a machine.
They beat teams like Kennesaw State.
I'll take Gonzaga. Yeah. And then Miami, the 7 seed, taking on Missouri, the 10 seed. And would you say this is in St. Louis, correct? Is that where this poll is? Boy, I really like Mark Mitchell. I like, going back to the TCU reference, I respect any team that can beat the Florida Gators. They did so. They've done it back-to-back years in the regular season. I really like this Miami team. First year head coach, thought he deserved the ACC Coach of the Year title. So that goes to John Shire. But I will take home court. I really like Miami, but having to go all the way to St. Louis in front of a home Missouri crowd, I'll take the Tigers.
I think Miami. I think Missouri is going to be a popular pick, and I know we always talk about Mark Mitchell, and he, you know, has these pretty good games. But, you know, Mark Mitchell has been the guy that's beaten us the last couple years, but he's also gotten some really timely shooting from his supporting cast. And they don't seem to show up against anybody else when they're playing. And so I think this Miami team is well-rounded. They've kind of been ascending ever since, you know, they had got run through by the Florida Gators in Jacksonville, also in a hockey stadium, Devin Hockey Arena. Shout out to the Jacksonville Icemen. So I like Miami to, you know, by the time the public is done with that one, picking Missouri, they might be the underdogs.
Yeah, I like Miami too. Like I said earlier, Purdue's another 2 seed that I may be picking to lose in the round of 32. I think Miami is going to be the one to do it. So I like Malik Renu, good team. Like you said, I think that is a tough draw. You get Missouri having to play a 10 seed in kind of in their backyard close to home is a tough draw. But I do like Miami here.
And Purdue, Queens, no upset here. Purdue, move on.
I don't think so.
All right. Before we jump into the Midwest portion, just a reminder, we're a part of the Stadium Go Network and presented by our partner, Norris and Norris PA. They're out of Lake City, Florida, and give Guy a call. I don't have the ad up. Unfortunately, it signed me out on my Google Doc. So I will read that again for the Norris and Norris folks that are watching. Jump into the Midwest, the Chicago region, Michigan, planning, they take on the playing game of 2-16 seeds. We'll take Michigan. And then we jump into the 8-9 matchup of Mike White versus St. Louis. I'm gonna take St. Louis in this matchup. Again, I think been the number one kill shot team in the country. I know Georgia led the kill shots in the SEC, but it's Mike White in March. I'll take the 9 seed St. Louis.
It's always, I mean, that was the last year was the first time Mike White had lost in the opening round of March, even though we kind of give him crap for his record. But I suspect that every single Gator fan will be picking St. Louis over the Georgia Dogs.
I'm gonna shock you a little bit then. I'm gonna take Mike White's Georgia Bulldogs. And the reason is, as the tournament got closer, I started to pay attention to some of the mid-majors. And I remember I tuned in like a week or two ago to the St. Louis game and watched them lose by, I don't know, 30 to George Mason. And it's got a bad taste in my mouth now. So you would think there'd be a way worse taste in my mouth for Mike White's tenure at Florida, but I am going to go with Georgia here.
We are a recency bias podcast, except when we're not.
We have been.
All right, 5-12, Texas Tech, Akron. Any surprises here? I know no topping for Texas Tech, but they haven't had them in quite some time. Still have some impressive wins. They've had a tough stretch in the Big 12. Any surprises here?
Akron's kind of flown under the radar because the entire story of the MAC, probably rightfully so, has been Miami of Ohio and their undefeated season. But to just sort of frame things for you, I think Akron is 64 in KenPom. Yep. And Miami of Ohio is 93. So they did off. They did play. It was at Miami of Ohio. Akron lost a close game there. But this Akron team and this Akron program, we've kind of seen in March here the last couple of years. You might remember a couple of years ago, they had a game against Kent State. And they played three times, and both of those teams were like top 50 KenPom teams. And I think in their second matchup, they ended up in like a fist fight brawl and got a bunch of players suspended for the opening rounds of their conference tournament. But then they played, and Akron had won, or maybe Kent State won. But both of those programs really good in the MAC. And so I don't think Akron has ever won a game in the tournament. But if they get a Texas Tech, JT Toppin-less Texas Tech, I should say. That might be their ticket to finally do it.
Yeah, I like Akron a lot too. Texas Tech's, I mean, even after Toppin, they played so well, it's really hard to pick against them in a game like this. But you see 12 over fives every year. I'll go Tech for now. This is one where I could see when it's time to change from pencil to Sharpie and turn the bracket in. I could go either way. I'll go Tech for now.
I'll take Akron until I dig in a little bit more. Oh, shoot. Can you guys still see the screen?
Yep.
All right. Sorry. Having some difficulty navigating behind the scene tabs.
You're good. If you want to read, let me know.
Yeah. Read the next one, if you don't mind, Hunter, if you can see it.
Yeah. I got the 2026 bracket on Twitter now. So next game we got 4-seed Alabama, 13-seed Hofstra. I think no matter who Alabama was playing offensively, they play so well that I have a hard time seeing them get upset in an early round against a team like this. I mean, obviously we've seen what their defense is. Florida has their way with it. I mean, any team, any mid-major, any smaller school, they're going to put up 100. So I'll be going with Alabama here.
Well, Hofstra, I don't know how often they shoot the three ball, but 29th in the country at 37% from beyond the arc. So this could be take the over sort of game.
Sounds like a fun one.
Yeah.
One of the annoying things about little Nate Oates is he keeps getting favorable matchups in the opening round from the committee. Happened last year with College of Charleston, where they were a hot upstart mid-major, kind of, I think, in the same exact spot with, you know, a 4-13 matchup. And they just keep putting them with these other great offensive teams, but the secret sauce to beating Alabama is to dominating them inside and defensively. We just happen to put up 100 on them because they don't play any defense. But if you try to score with them, these mid-majors don't have the consistency or the X's and the Jimmys and Joes to be able to keep up. So, it's probably one of those games, like Hunter said, 105 to 95, and Alabama just shoots the ball a little more often than them, and it goes in a little more often.
Well, they get 37% of their point distributions from the three-point line, which is 40th in the country, 324th in getting in their point distribution via two-point shot. So they like to shoot the three ball at a high clip. Hofstra does, again, 29th in the country. Should be a pretty fun matchup.
They also Alabama stylistically is a little bit they're kind of – Purdue light, I would say, you know, a little stylistically not the same, but obviously more offensive focused. And so if they end up in a Sweet 16 matchup against Michigan, you saw what Purdue just did to Michigan. And so they might be able to score with the Wolverines.
Hunter, since you've got it pulled up, I didn't type in that 11 seed playing game. Who does Tennessee got?
Yeah. Tennessee's got the winner of the last team in the field, Miami of Ohio and SMU. That's another one. I think people would be tempted with the story with Miami of Ohio, maybe to take them to win a game. You kind of envision in March the different storylines and headlines that you'll see. You could see it. I don't see it here. I like Tennessee a good bit in the postseason. I think with Gillespie, a guy that we faced when he was at Maryland last year in the postseason, and then the stud freshman, Nate Amont, or Ment, however you say it. I like Tennessee. You know, spoiler, I actually have them winning a couple games, so I like them over whoever they face, whether it be Miami of Ohio or SMU here.
Yeah, too physical, rebound the ball offensively better than anyone in the country. They're up there with Florida. Statistically, I'll take the Vols.
Yeah, Rick Barnes doesn't win in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four, but he does get there a couple times, and he certainly gets to the Sweet 16. So it wouldn't shock me to see them be, you know, the winner of Virginia and Wright State either, because like Jackson, you just said, it's hard for anybody to match up with Tennessee physically. And they also play kind of a hectic style of defense where I'm sure whichever team they play, their fans on Twitter are going to be crying about Tennessee hand checking and fouling the whole time. So they're a matchup problem for people in March until it gets too late that Rick Barnes blows it.
And then that 14-3 matchup, Virginia versus Wright State. I've got the Cavaliers just represented the ACC in the title game and the conference tournament. I like the Cavs moving on.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
No upsets at the 2-15 matchup, Iowa State, Tennessee State.
I think Iowa State's too good.
I agree. Now that brings us to the South region.
Did you do the 7-10 in that region?
Did I? Nope, I jumped Kentucky, Santa Clara. My bad.
You just were boycotting Kentucky on this show. You just want to skip right over.
Yeah, you know, they didn't lead for a single second, so I wasn't giving them a single second of time on this show tonight.
Well played. I don't know anything about Santa Clara, just to be honest. I'm not going to pretend like I do. Will, tell us a little something.
First time in the tournament since 1996.
35th in KenPom.
Yeah.
Yeah, 23rd offensively, 82nd defensively. They shoot three balls about 130th in the country and shooting three ball, but really good in the interior at 57% from inside the arc, which is 39th best in the country. They make a lot of threes. They make a lot of threes and they take a lot of threes. So
they have Rick Pitino tweeted. They've got one of his old proteges coaching him. So this is kind of a Rick Pitino protege matchup here. But their coach is one of those experienced coaches that you see stories of in March, where he was at Arizona State, won a couple games in the tournament, ultimately fired by them. And then, you know, a decade later, he resurfaces at a mid-major and you can just see the headline written, you know, redemption for so-and-so as he takes them on a Cinderella run to the Sweet 16. But their program has been ascending. It was kind of, you know, it was Gonzaga, St. Mary's, and then Todd Golden, San Francisco Dons. Fighting for third place there. And then once Todd came to Florida, Santa Clara has taken their spot and finally breaks through and makes the tournament. So I really hope Santa Clara wins because I want to see Kentucky fans crying on Twitter. But I have a hard time believing that Denzel Averdeen is going to lose in the first round of the NCAA tournament because every single time I'm hate watching Kentucky, he seems to be the guy that's willing them to victory. Except against the Gators, where he gets threes splashed in his face and then his pocket picked, I guess. I think Kentucky's probably going to handle him.
Yeah, I like Santa Clara. Three of their eight losses this year are to Gonzaga. They did lose to St. Louis by one in a neutral site early in the year. I think St. Louis started like 20-something and 0 or 18-0 to begin the year. One of those early tests was against Santa Clara. I'll take the Broncos.
I like for our listeners, you know, a little advice here. Good old emotional hedge never hurt anyone. You just plug your nose, pick Kentucky, and then when the game comes on, you root for Santa Clara and Mark Pope's night to end in tears. And if it doesn't, at least you're picking the Broncos right.
Fair point, Hunter. All right, that brings us to – did I miss one in the Midwest? Are we good to jump to the South region? Where your Florida Gators are the number one seed.
I think we're good to go to the South region.
All right, Tampa. We don't have the times yet, right? That's usually around 8 o'clock when we get time distributions for.
Yeah, I sent it earlier. The last few years, it's been – I think the last 4 years, it's been 8 o'clock, you know, 8:05, 8:19, 7:30. So it's 7 or 8 o'clock. It's random, though. It's not like a set time where it comes out.
Beautiful. Well, we will take on the winner of Prairie View versus Lehigh. We'll chalk that one up Friday night for a Gators victory, taking on the winner of Clemson, Iowa. Any thoughts here?
Give me Iowa. Subject to change.
I like Iowa as well. Another two teams I haven't watched as much of this year, but If I remember correctly, Clemson's, well, they've had some decent tournament success the last couple of years. They've lost a couple guys. Obviously had a solid season, but I like Iowa here.
Yeah, I like Iowa because their coach was Drake's coach last year, and he was he impressed me just with Drake's gameplay last year. And so I think he's a pretty good coach in his first year at Iowa. Got them, obviously, from – they had really fallen off when Fran McCaffrey had gotten fired, but now they're back in the tournament, top 25 in KenPom. Seemed like a pretty well-balanced team. And so – and they're obviously very well battle-tested, haven't been played in a top-heavy Big Ten all year. So I like Iowa to win that game.
And if you're a KenPom guy, I mean, that's a good point. Looking at KenPom here, they're 25th. Most of the teams around them, I was decently underseeded if you are a KenPom person. I mean, the teams around them are, see, a 6 seed, a 5 seed, a 4 seed, an 8 seed, a 7 seed. So, you know, decently underseeded compared to where they are in KenPom.
Yeah, Bennett Starrett's for Iowa averaging 20 a game, 38% shooting from deep, 85% from the line, almost 5 assists a game, nearly 2 steals a game. A really good guard they have in the backcourt. I only watched Iowa once this year. That was actually last Saturday in my drive back from Lexington. Kind of a choke job in overtime on the road at Nebraska. I do like Clemson as well. Well coached. I'll take Iowa. I'd like to see Boogie Flan versus their backcourt, defend him, maybe get him out of rhythm. I don't know what other pieces they have, but I'll take – I'll take the
Hawks. I like that matchup for us, though, just to be clear.
Me too.
I do too. So I'll take the Hawkeyes.
Looking at most of the other 8-9s, I don't mind our draw. I like it.
I had mentioned, talking real quick back about Michigan's bracket and Alabama possibly giving them some issues. So Michigan obviously lost to Purdue. They lost to Wisconsin, another offensive kind of top-heavy team. This season, and then they lost to Duke, who is, you know, they're just a juggernaut balance just like us. So it seems like the recipe to beat Michigan is probably good offense. And so just be watch out for that. Little Nate Oates might grow a little bit and grow up and beat the big boys.
Potential Sweet 16 matchup time. Vanderbilt 5 seed represented the SEC in the conference tournament today after they beat the Gators in the semifinals on Saturday against the 12 seed McNeese. Any surprises here? Vanderbilt's playing really well. Duke Miles went off the last few games. Tyler Tanner, first team all SEC. Jalen Washington, I think he had a pretty quiet game after hitting multiple 3 balls against the Gators. What do you guys see here in this matchup?
I think most Gator fans were probably a little spooked seeing them in our region. You know, you like to feel confident and say you're not scared of anyone with how our basketball teams have been the last couple of years. But just watching Vandy a couple of days ago, knowing that or yesterday, knowing that that's the last game we've played, it makes me a little nervous. In this game, I don't know anything about McNeese. I'll be rooting for him so that we don't have to see Vandy or worry about it. But I do like Vandy in this game.
I like Vandy. I think they're hot offensively. I know they didn't shoot quite as well today as they had been. But I don't think this is Will Wade's McNeese State. So I expect Vanderbilt to win that game. And I like them going to the Sweet 16. I think they're very underseeded at 5.
Yeah, I like us playing Vanderbilt as well. McNeese, 300 in the country in three-point percentage makes. They only 25% of their buckets are from three-pointers, which is 318th in the country. So they're going to have to dominate Vanderbilt in the interior. And we saw what they did to us Saturday in Nashville. Really took us out of the game. At one point, I think we had 20 points in the paint out of our 54 points at the time. I don't know where we finished, but it's got to be near a season low for Florida. So if they take that same mindset and defensive style against McNeese, I see them having no problem advancing to the round of 32 against the winner of the 4 seed Nebraska Cornhuskers and 13 seed Troy Trojans.
Dream season for Nebraska.
Be their first ever, they're the last Power Conference team, I believe, to never have won a March Madness game. So I think it's a I don't want to say happy to be there, but I like them here. Don't like them against Vandy, but I think they'll beat Troy and be the last power conference team to get a win in March Madness.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at KenPom here, and that's all I pretty much know about Troy other than Coach John Summerall. 143 on KenPom, which seems a little low for a 13 seed. If you can, you know, you just compare them to, like, we were talking about Akron being a top 70 KenPom team and they're a 12. And so, you know, I think Nebraska will be pretty heavily favored in that one, but we see these 13-4 upsets all the time now. So, hopefully I'm rooting for the Cornhuskers to, finally become that last power five team to win a conference game.
Well, I know Dev is having some technical difficulties, but going back to the 8-9, he's on take Clemson, and then in the 4-13, he's taking Troy. So he gives us live updates via text. Jumping to the 6-11 matchup, UNC VCU. No Caleb Wilson, obviously, for the Tar Heels. He's been out for about 7-8 games now. I think they're 6-2, lost to the Duke, and then whoever they lost to in the ACC tournament.
I like VCU. I think you're about to say it, Hunter.
Me too. Yep, I'm on the same page. I like VCU here. Got to take an 11 over 6, and I like VCU to do it.
Shoot the ball really well from beyond the arc. Knocked down 74% of the free throws.
Yeah, they played pretty well today against Anthony Grant's Dayton Flyers. And so I think they were on the bubble coming in until they won the A-10 championship. But it's kind of – VCU is one of those March programs. I think last year was like one of the only years they didn't win a game. So give me the Rams.
Yeah, I'm there with you. VCU, moving on. Hunter, any difference in that pick?
No, I said I like VCU there. I got to always pick up number 6. So I'm good with VCU there.
All right, and then the 3-seed Illinois versus 14 Penn, a classic today in the Ivy League championship. I believe Penn is 150th in KenPom. Played one decent non-conference opponent in Villanova, got boat raced. Obviously, that guy, TJ Powers, goes for 40 today, 40-plus. I don't know where he finished. Any upsets here in the 3-14? Illinois still the best offense in the country, according to KenPom, I believe.
I think this one might be a tough game for the Illini, and I'll tell you exactly why. Penn is coached by Fran McCaffrey, former Iowa coach for – maybe even longer than a decade. So well acquainted with Illinois and Brad Underwood. Typically, Fran McCaffrey's teams were all offense, NATO style, up and down. Defense is totally optional, but not this Penn team. They are 100 spots almost better in defensive efficiency than they are offensive efficiency. Need to do a little more research to see if that's the type of teams that Illinois has been struggling with this year. But like they lost to Michigan State, they lost to Wisconsin's not a good example, so that kind of undermines my point. But wouldn't be surprised if this is one of those. Ivy League seems to have been getting a lot better recently, and so wouldn't shock me if you saw that here as well.
Laptop needs some tough coaching. It's got to be better prepared for March.
All right. I'll take Illinois as well. Moving to the 7-10 matchup at the bottom half of the South region, 7-seed St. Mary's, former school Todd Golden attended and played for the Gales against the 10-seed Texas A&M Aggies. I'm going to take St. Mary's, 13th in the country in three-point percentage, 15th in the country in offensive rebounding percentage as well. So a team that seems scrappy, can knock down the long ball. We know Bucky Ball and the Aggies like to defend you 94 feet of the court. I'm gonna take St. Mary's in the 7-10.
I like the Aggies. I think Randy Bennett, St. Mary's coach, might be headed to Tempe, Arizona. So give me the Aggies.
I like A&M as well. No real reason for it. Just Homer SEC.
I, I like A&M, and I think that you need to put a pin in that for a round two matchup. That style of play on 2 days' notice for Houston, it's a tough scout, tough thing to get used to. I know that they can kind of prepare for it as they're getting ready, or they can scout it as they're getting ready for the round one game against Idaho. But put a pin in that. I think that that's a matchup and a style of play that can be difficult, especially on a short turnaround, if they get through St. Mary's.
I mentioned earlier about Alabama constantly getting these favorable matchups. When Bucky McMillan was the coach of Samford, he was the closest one to beating Alabama, I believe. And I think he probably should have gotten it, but the ref called a foul on a very clean block that would have sent the ball back in transition with Samford, you know, should have knocked off Alabama that year. So, you know, he's going to be itching to win this game even more than he probably already is.
How could we forget?
How could we forget? I mean, that's why you tune into the Breakfast Boys, is for little tidbits like that.
All right, and then the 2:15 Houston, Idaho. I assume we all got Houston advancing to the round of 32.
Yes, sir.
I think so.
All right.
But pin in that one, in that round two game.
Yeah, you got the Aggies being a difficult matchup. I've got St. Mary's. You know, Houston doesn't score the basketball all that well. I know they got that star freshman Fleming, but the Gales can shoot the lights out from deep. You know, one of these teams in March can get hot. We might, you know, we got to win, obviously, but we might not even get a home court advantage in Houston if the Cougars get bounced.
The Gales remind me of the Mountain West teams that shoot well all year until they enter the round of 64 and can't remember how to shoot the ball.
I agree with that. Well, how are we going to rip through round of 32? I know we obviously didn't all agree on every game, so just kind of talk about the potential matchups.
We can jump to Elite Eight, kind of fast forward who you think.
Yeah.
And your champion. We do have one comment on YouTube. UF versus Vandy in the Sweet 16, UF versus Houston in Elite Eight, and UF versus Duke in the Final Four, then UF Arizona and Natty. So a bit of a revenge tour. Obviously, we beat Houston last year in the national championship game, but the three other teams get to avenge some losses from earlier in the year, potentially.
That's a brutal road. I'd love to get all the revenge we can get, but that is a tough path. Hopefully, in our region, we get a few more upsets than that and don't have to play that kind of gauntlet to get to a back-to-back title.
Agree. All right, we'll start – the East region will go Elite Eight. Who do you have? We'll start, Hunter. Elite Eight matchup.
Yeah, upper half, I definitely have Duke. Lower half, oh, man, I'm really tempted. Like I said earlier, I'm definitely going to be picking UCLA over UConn in that round of 32 game. I'm struggling. I think we're going to get a classic Izzo Michigan State UCLA matchup in that Sweet 16. I'm going to go Michigan State. So I'll go Michigan State Duke, which would be an awesome Elite Eight game.
Give me Will Patino. Oh, go ahead, Devin.
I was going to say, before you jump in, I'm going to agree with Hunter. Michigan State Duke was what I had in my mind. It seems like every couple of years we get that matchup. That's what I have out of the East.
I was thinking that until Hunter said it, and now that you have definitely said it, I'm not going with the consensus. So I'm going Patino and I like Patino Izzo.
I'm with you on that.
Oh,
a beat up Duke team playing a tough physical St. John's team. I'm gonna take the Johnnies to get to the Elite Eight to take on Izzo.
Now in Northern Iowa kills them in the first round. We're going to really regret this. But that would simply be a material change that we didn't see coming.
Correct.
These picks are subject to change. They are by no means binding.
We're just throwing everyone off. We have all these people listening. We're going to do our bracket challenge with you guys. We're just throwing you off. We're getting you off the set.
We're giving them all the
shout out to shout out to the Twitter listeners. I think we're up over 750.
Yeah, 7:30 now on the live stream, so I appreciate everybody jumping on. And again, we're part of the Save and Go Network and brought to you by Norse PA.
Y'all better all hop in that bracket challenge. All right, come prove you know ball to us.
Yeah, link should be like after I drop the video. So make sure you're following us on Twitter. You'll see it in the description as well, all the videos. But let's jump over to the West region before we go to the final four picks. Who are you taking out of the West to represent? You get to the Elite Eight.
I think I like Arizona and Gonzaga.
You know, I've got Gonzaga versus Missouri in that Sweet 16. So I'll take the Zags and Wildcats.
Struggling. I'm struggling with the bottom half. Definitely like Arizona. That bottom half of that West has given me some trouble. I said earlier I was leaning Miami over Purdue for another two seed to fail to reach the Sweet 16. That could be one I end up going back on, and when it's time to do the bracket, I could see myself taking Purdue. I'll roll with Gonzaga for now.
So I made fun of John Calipari earlier for his early exits out of the tournament with Kentucky, and I love Darius Acuff. I don't necessarily think that they're going to make it to a Final Four, but I have the Elite Eight being Arkansas and Purdue.
I like that too. Okay. Moving down to the Midwest. I got Michigan, Iowa State. Kind of a chalky Midwest final. Any differences in the Michigan, Iowa State pick?
Yeah, I got a funky one for you guys, some of our listeners. Maybe a little surprised by this one. Give me Michigan and Rick Barnes and the Tennessee Volunteers in the Elite Eight.
I tend to agree with Hunter.
All right.
Alabama and Tennessee.
Wow.
The SEC is what everybody thought it was last year again.
You have half the Elite Eight. Assuming you take Florida the Elite Eight, you have half the Elite Eight as SEC.
Yeah, they call me SEC Dev. Always have.
All right, jumping to the South region. Obviously, I think it's a consensus. We got Florida in the top half representing the South and Houston. And the bottom half gets a little tricky. I've got St. Mary's upset in Houston. I'll take the Illini against the Gators. We got to play them preseason in a scrimmage that we won. And we get to face off when it means something.
I like Florida over Houston.
You know, something about those Vandals, man. I think they're going to make a run. Give me Florida and Idaho for a spot in the Final Four. Just want to – that's what I want to see is Florida get tested. Give me Florida and Idaho.
Hey, Idaho is higher in KenPom than Penn, despite being the 15 here.
I got Illinois as well coming out of the bottom half. I agree with Jackson. I like them a lot. I think they're a really dangerous three. I do like the idea, too. You get that the secret scrimmage rematch from before the year, a couple of key players out. I will say, I mean, we're all probably thinking it. Obviously, going to have Florida in that Elite Eight, but I can't stop thinking about that Florida Vandy potential rematch in the Sweet 16. Obviously, after yesterday, that's going to potentially be a tough one. So, Florida and the Fighting Illini.
Hey, in all seriousness, the Florida Houston rematch of the national championship feels like it's inevitable. Playing them in Texas for a second year in a row in Houston
and in their home city. Yeah. So we all have Florida moving on to the Final Four, correct?
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. And then we had John Shire versus Tom Izzo for half the group, and then Rick Pitino versus Tom Izzo. So I'll start with Dev and Hunter out of that Duke-Michigan State matchup. Who do you got?
I like Duke.
I like Duke, too. But this is all subject to change while I do more research on these injured players for Duke. I might not have Duke in the Elite Eight now that I'm processing that. But we'll go Duke for today.
All right. I think we already sharpied you in.
This is all subject to material changes.
We've got erasers on this right now, Will. All subject to change. I got Rick Pitino in the Final Four. I wanted that matchup last year against the Gators in the potential Elite Eight matchup. It looks like we're going to get it in Indianapolis, the 5-seed Johnnies, back-to-back Big East regular season title winners and back-to-back Big East conference tournament champions. Get to meet Todd Golden and the Gators in Indianapolis for the berth to the national championship on the line.
I like it. Give me the Gators over the Johnnies.
All right, Dev, you had Arkansas Gonzaga?
Let me look back. No, I had Arkansas and Purdue.
Okay.
And I'll take Purdue to come out of the West.
All right. I had Arizona Gonzaga. I'm going to take the Wildcats as the 1-seed representing the West region in Indianapolis. Hunter?
Yeah, I definitely have Arizona being the team to go to the Final Four. I'm already second guessing myself on having Gonzaga there. Probably will not be who I have when I do my bracket, but Arizona to the Final Four.
I got Arizona as well.
All right. And now to the Midwest, I had Michigan, Iowa State. I'll take the Wolverines. 3-1 seeds make it to the Final Four with a surprise 5.
I agree.
1-seed Duke, 1-seed Florida, 1-seed Arizona, and the 6-seed Tennessee Volunteers. And Rick Barnes breaks through at Tennessee and makes his first Final Four at Tennessee.
Makes the first Final Four in program history.
That's right.
That's disgusting. Give me Bama.
All right. I'll try to memorize what everyone just had. Will, I'll go you and I first. Pitino, Golden, chance to get the national title game.
Come on. Thanks. Todd Golden is not losing another game this season.
All right. Pencil that in. Duke, you got Izzo versus Golden and Shire versus Golden. I assume you two are taking the Gators in that, Dev and Hunter.
Yeah, give me the Florida Gators.
Everyone had Arizona in the Final Four up here?
No, yeah. I have Purdue.
You have Purdue. All right. And then we had we'll start with Arizona, Michigan, Will and I. I'm going to take the Wildcats, and the Gators get a season opener rematch in the final game of the season.
That's what I got as well.
All right, now let's get funky. We've got Hunter, Arizona versus Alabama.
Tennessee. Yeah, you get Dev and I confused with our SEC homer picks. I got Arizona over Tennessee, so me, Jackson, Will so far all have the same national championship.
And then Dev, so you've got Purdue-Bama.
Purdue-Bama. I hate the sound of that, just saying it. Give me Purdue because I can't pick Bama to go to the national championship now. Can't wait to share these brackets because there's going to be a lot of changes, I think, before we get to Thursday. So give me Florida, Purdue, and of course the Florida Gators beating those guys over at Purdue.
All right, we'll take.
I like the Gators beating Arizona in a rematch. We smoked them the first 7 minutes of the season, and I thought we might be going 40-0. We started playing like that a little bit there toward the end of the season, faltered yesterday, but when we start rolling like that, there's nobody that can touch us.
Kind of similar to coming out of the gauntlet that we played in December. I think that starting the tournament with a 16 seed to get your feet back underneath you after the way we played in the SEC tournament is going to do well for us. Kind of like how the bye games, obviously, I guess we lost week one or game one in the SEC schedule against Missouri, but kind of get your feet back underneath you, see a couple of balls go through the basket, run clean offense. I think that that's going to serve us well going into the rest of the tournament after the way we played in the SEC tournament.
Yeah. And you kind of get a little step up, assuming, you know, if Iowa beats Clemson, which is obviously a big assumption given how these 8-9 games are true 50-50 matchups, I think historically, Iowa is the top-rated 8 and 9 seed on KenPom. So another pretty solid test for us before we might face the Vanderbilt Commodores again.
Well, all I know is the last time the Gators got kicked in the mouth, they rattled off 12 straight wins. 12 straight wins. We only need 6. So I don't care who the Gators are playing. We're going to roll. We'll see everybody in Indianapolis again. But first, we'll see everybody in Tampa. Hunter, are you going? I know the rest of the boys are going.
I'll be there. I'll be in Tampa as well. I'll be there all weekend. Can't wait.
Beautiful. I think the entire Breakfast with the Gators crew will be there outside of our boy Sam, who's out in Arizona. Maybe he can catch a flight to Indianapolis here in about 3 weeks.
Is John making a bunch of grand promises?
John from Tampa is not hosting. He did offer, but I did have some additional guests coming with me, so we got a hotel just north of the stadium. But I do appreciate John from Tampa offering, as one of the Norris brothers that did offer a spot for an air mattress or a couch. So thank you, John from Tampa.
Who, no room at this end.
Who lives one floor below Will, by the way, for the listeners.
And I didn't get a chance to say Jackson. I know all three of you picked him, but obviously I was looking at it, scrolling through Twitter earlier, watching a lot of podcasts or different pages wrap up their season, covering regular season conference tournaments as we go into March here. Just want to remind everyone, there's a lot of podcasts out there, a lot of pages out there that follow their team, and they try to pride themselves on being objective, unbiased. We're not that. So Florida Gators over everyone. Forever and always.
Yeah, if you came here for some
you
came to the wrong pod.
Our promise to our listeners is we will always be as biased as possible in favor of the
That's right.
We might do things like but we will be objective when the time comes. I mean, we might predict the football team to go 12-0 in spite of Billy Napier and because of DJ Lagway. But once that obviously doesn't happen, we'll be the first to tell you that it's not happening right after USF kicks a game.
Correct. We if there's one thing about us, we can observe things, and that we plan to do for the rest of the year. We'll coach the team hard. Hey, do we have time to close with a baseball minute?
I was just going to say, speaking of tough coaching, it seems like yours has paid off for the baseball team.
Yeah, our Florida Gators had a great week in the wonderful city of Gainesville. Shout out to Ryan for tough coaching us after last week's episode. 4-0 week.
Yeah, this is
coaching me. I'll take some accountability. Hand up. Hey, we're a team though. Yeah, none of you corrected me. So Gators went 4-0 this week. 18 strikeouts in the midweek against FSU. From the starters, you had Liam on Friday. He went 6 innings, had 10 strikeouts. Then you had Aiden King follow that up with 6 innings of his own and 9 more strikeouts. Just a phenomenal week for pitching. First time since 2013, they shut out back-to-back SEC, shut out an SEC opponent in back-to-back games. So it took 23 innings, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brian. 23 innings for South Carolina to score. We ended up getting the sweep today, 13-3. We had a grand slam by Cash Strayer. Just a really, really big week, really, really good weekend for the baseball team, and proved the rankings folks wrong that dropped us from 9th in the country to 23rd in the country after a rough weekend last weekend. So I expect us to make a pretty big jump back up in the rankings, closer to where we belong, around the top 10. So it's everything we wanted out of the 1 and 2 guys on the mound. You got the ace stuff that you expected coming into the season, and a great way to start SEC play. I think that's the 7th straight series win Florida's had. That's the longest 7th straight SEC series win for the Gators, longest streak in the entire conference.
Love it.
Awesome. Did you mention
that might have been an SEC 90
second? I apologize, Dev. Who do we got this upcoming weekend?
It's a great question, Jackson, and you'll find out on this week's Gator Baseball Minute.
Well, awesome. Well, we got the bracket wall is coming along nicely. Shout out, Am. We'll have that done by tonight, hopefully. And we'll fill in as the tournament progresses. But appreciate everyone joining in. 777 viewers. It's good. That's a good lucky number right there for tournament talk. So thank you again.
Nobody move.
Yeah. We will have our bracket challenge available. The link should be tweeted out here momentarily. Make sure you join. We'll tweet out what the prize is going to be. We don't have a definite conclusion on that yet at this time. But come prove to us that you know ball better than anyone in this podcast. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Awesome time. Hour and a half might be our longest show yet. We don't know the programming schedule this week. We might. I don't know if there's maybe after some further research on our region and some of the 8-9 matchup, who we can get in the round of 32, we might come to you with another show. But if not, reach out to us. We'll all be in Tampa starting Thursday night into Sunday afternoon. Let's hang out. Go Gators.
Go Gators.
Go Gators.